You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
So this week I talked to the leader of the Opportunities Party, Jeff Simmons, about their health policies. We did a bit of a look at sort of COVID response, dental care, sugar taxes, and then finished off with looking at their referendum stances. I started off by asking him about what he thought about both Labor and National's oral health policies.
National and Labor's policies around dental care are nothing. I mean, they're not really dealing with the core of the issue here, which the issue is that we have hundreds of thousands of people who can't afford to go to the dentist. And, you know, National giving kids free toothbrushes and stuff, I mean, it doesn't even touch the sides. We have enormous costs that come down through our health system because of the lack of dental care that particularly the poorer members of our society are getting. So actually it makes sense to invest early, invest in prevention. This is what TOP is all about. And so we're talking about free dental care for the poorest 20% of the population. And our goal is to roll that out. This is basic dental care, so it's nothing aesthetic, but it is anything that people might need which can prevent problems down the line. You know, things like regular checkups, fillings, tooth pulls, all that sort of stuff. And so we want to provide that to the bottom 20% of the population. That's, you know, a million of our poorest Kiwis, and make sure that they have a right to that basic level of care.
Okay, so if you were having to pick between Labor or National to work on dental care policy, who would you be going with?
Oh, look, I mean, on this particular issue, I really don't think there is much between them. Both Labor and National both tend to take the approach of putting the ambulance at the bottom of the cliff, and you know, I think this, you know, dental is a pretty good example of that. They're both wanting to look like they're doing something without really dealing to the core of the issue.
Okay, so moving on to the sugar tax, which is along the same lines, you've recently announced that TOP would be wanting to put in a sugar tax to deter people away from unhealthy food. Now, won't this just penalise those who are already suffering and can't afford to eat healthier in the first place?
Yeah, so this has been trialled overseas. We've seen it work in Mexico. And yes, a junk food tax does tend to discourage particularly poorer people away from junk food. So it's much more effective for people on lower incomes. Of course, at the moment, we know that, you know, people on lower incomes are more likely to have issues with obesity. So in many ways, that's a good thing. We are making sure that we spend the money that we raise in a progressive manner, like I said, through funding free dental care, through funding cheaper GP visits, and through funding fruit and veggie box schemes to provide people with healthier alternatives. So when you look at the package in total, it is progressive and it will help poor people.
But how can you make sure that these fruit, like say with the fruit and veg boxes, that it is reaching 100% of people? I feel that people will still end up going towards fast food, even though it's more expensive because they can't afford anything else. Fruit and veggies are not the cheapest option, and even if people can afford them, maybe they don't have the skills to be able to cook them into a meal which is healthy, or even know where to start on these sort of issues.
Yeah, look, I mean, it is definitely going to take some cultural change, some behavioural change to get people more used to eating fruit and veggies again. And you know, we are talking about cooking programs in communities, that sort of stuff as well, that will need to happen. But fruit and veggie box schemes are incredibly effective in poorer parts of the country. you know, because they cut out the middle person, they cut out the supermarkets, and any time you try to make fruit and veggies cheaper, for example, by removing the GST or whatever, it ends up benefiting the supermarkets. So we want to cut out the middleman and make sure that the you know, the people are really benefiting from these cheaper fruit and vegetables, and that growers benefit as well. It really is a win-win when you cut out the middleman.
Okay, so moving on to sort of looking at the healthcare in general. So this year, with COVID-19 still here and has been on our doorstep, we've been told throughout this year that our healthcare would not have handled COVID if it had been widespread throughout the country. What would TOP do within its first 90 days of government to strengthen the healthcare system?
So a couple of things. The healthcare, you know, much like dental, it's always better to invest in prevention rather than treatment. Prevention is better than cure. Rather than putting more ambulances at the bottom of the cliff, we need to put a fence at the top. And so what TOP is all about is investing in prevention. We would significantly boost funding to the primary sector, because so that's GPs, nurses, everything that's out in the community, because that's more cost effective. You get more health benefit for every dollar invested, and it's also better for equity as well, because we know that GP charges are often what prevent the poorer members of our society from accessing care and therefore getting the treatment that they deserve. So investing in prevention is not only a better return on investment, it's also more equitable as well. So our health policy really does focus on that. In terms of COVID, the big lesson from COVID was actually that our public health system was really poorly prepared. And when I say public health, I mean everything that is nothing to do with the hospital system. So in New Zealand, we had an independent public health commission back in 1995, and they were charged with things like preparing us for pandemics. Now, for a bunch of reasons, the national government in the 90s got rid of that public health commission, but we would reinstate that, and I think that is absolutely crucial in terms of preparing us for future pandemics, for getting people thinking about things like contact tracing, making sure that we have PPE, making sure that we can set up quarantine facilities quickly, because if there's one thing that we've learned from this pandemic, we're going to have more of these. It's a question of when, not if.
Okay. Very, very interesting. Now, just quickly, we will go over the referendum. So would you be able to quickly go over what TOP's stance is on the two referendums coming up in this election?
Yeah, so our stance on the cannabis referendum is that we should legalise it, regulate it and tax it. And largely, I think the government have come up with a very good model. There are some tweaks that we would make, but it's kind of 95% there. And so we're absolutely advocating for people to vote yes. This is nothing to do with whether you like cannabis or whether you want to use cannabis. The fact is that 80% of Kiwis have tried cannabis. 1 in 8 people use it regularly. And we just want to make sure that we, you know, that the market is regulated, so that we can ensure that people are getting a safe product, that and that we can invest in things like education and in drug and alcohol treatment. On the euthanasia referendum, the assisted dying, we don't have a position on that. That is a conscience position. So, you know, obviously that is up to the people to decide whether or not they think we should have voluntary assisted dying.
Kei te whakarongo koe ki te wire, marunga irirangi pō.
The Wire.
So that was the leader of the Opportunities Party, Jeff Simmons, and we'll be talking to the top party every week building up to the election to understand more of their policies and what they stand for going up to when you enter the booth.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.